It's good to be here. We're glad you're with us. If you would, if you have Bibles or Bibles on your phone, either one would work. Turn to Exodus chapter 20. We're going to start out in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. We're going to have a few different verses today we'll be in. I'll let you know if it's something you need to turn to or some of them I may just read to you for the sake of time. But go ahead and start turning there while we're kind of opening up here. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Jacob Miller. I'm one of the pastors here. Hopefully, if the rain holds out, I'll be a father baptizing two children at the end of the service. So we're going to pray for God to be glorified through that later on. But right now what we are doing as a church is we are in the middle of a series. In the summertime, sometimes we'll do a series. We like to preach expositorially through books of the Bible. Starting in the fall, we'll be in Romans. That's going to be a large task. We're going to start Romans in the fall. We're going to work our way through it. But over the summer here, as is usual for us, we usually like to kind of hone in on a couple of things that we, as pastors, feel like God is calling us to specifically talk about and lead the church in. And one of those things is holiness. JT and I went together for the gospel conference. 10,000 men there, pastors, leaders from all over the nation. We heard some of the best speakers gifted by God, the best men who do this. We got to go experience that. And that was really a large part of the topic of what they discussed there was holiness and holiness for the church, separation unto God. And we really left that inspired. And we started planning the series on the way back. And JT has started this off here with a few sermons talking about holiness, talking about how holiness is not something that holds us down, but it's something that gives us freedom. We tend to think about holiness as this really difficult thing that's so hard and it's a lot of work. And it's just so difficult. But really, the truth about holiness is that as we become more holy, as we become more like Christ, the more free we actually become. So he's talked about that. Holiness is freedom. He's talked about how we pursue holiness. Today, what we're going to talk about is we're going to kind of start getting into some specifics. We're going to talk about holiness and time, our time, holiness and time. That's what we're going to be talking about today. So let me start off by asking you a question. How many of you would like to take a break? Anybody? Everybody, right? So if I were to just say, you know what, for the next 20 minutes I give you a pass, you can sleep in church and I will not be offended. Everybody good? Yeah. Because I figure, you know, I probably should take the first 15 minutes because you might fall asleep anyways if I wait till later on. But if I were to say in the first 15 minutes, you can take a break. Just catch some Z's. Just catch up. Just slow down. Just stop for a minute and just take a break. Does that sound good to anybody? Yeah, it is. And so we're going to be talking about that today. That's going to be our topic, holiness and time. And you cannot talk about holiness and time without talking about the Sabbath. And so we're going to talk about Sabbath today. This study for me has been tremendous. I have really grown in this over the last couple of months, as per a conversation with JT and I, where he really challenged me, because this for me is a stronghold of sin. My work, whether I'm at work or whether I'm at home, my inability to stop, my inability to slow down, my inability to make time for things I should make time for is a serious stronghold in my life. And so whenever JT, we were going through this and on the way back and we were talking about these different sections, he's like, time, when you talk about time, he's like, you want to take that one? And I was like, yeah. You know, so this is an example of JT pastoring me, actually. He knows this is something I need to study and to submit to. And so I have, and it's really been the capstone for me on the last several months of really just pursuing this more and more. Laura and I together talking about pursuing this more and more and trying to implement different things as a family and as individuals in this regard of stopping or ceasing or taking a break. So Sabbath, we're going to be talking about Sabbath. So when you think about Sabbath, we think about today, right? Think about Sunday. That's the day that we traditionally as Christians celebrate as what is known as the Sabbath. What comes to mind for you, though, church, whenever I say Sabbath? What comes to mind? Let's be honest. You know me, I'm a very straightforward person. Is the Sabbath a waste of time? Like if we don't spend this Sabbath day working towards some end to get something done, whether it be at the house or whether it be at work, making money, providing, whatever it is, if we don't spend time doing those things, are we wasting our time? I think some of us would say, yeah, we struggle with feeling that way. I feel like I need to be productive. I need to do these things. So it's hard for me to give up this time, right? Some of us might think that it's boring. We may have tried to pursue the Sabbath time in days past, and it hasn't gone real well for us. We haven't experienced the God the way that we want to during that time. And so since we haven't gotten the experience that we've wanted, we've backed off from Sabbathing, from stopping, from ceasing, okay? And that's what Sabbath means. That's what Sabbath means. The word Sabbath comes from a Hebrew. What we translate as Sabbath comes from a Hebrew word, means it actually is pronounced Shabbat, okay? And basically what that means is to cease. It means to stop. That's what it means. When we say Sabbath, it means cease. It means to stop. So this can be an area of confusion for us as Christians, I think. We struggle with this idea of Sabbath. And so we're gonna pour into this today. I'm going to go through this kind of asked and answered question format that I've done a couple of times here lately. It really kind of helps to keep me focused, which is good for you guys because it means we actually get out of here on time whenever I stay focused. So we've got four questions we're going to ask and answer. We're going to work our way through here. I'm going to give them to you ahead of time. First question, what is the basic biblical understanding of the Sabbath? Second question, is the Sabbath day important to God? Third question, why does God command us to celebrate the Sabbath? It's not a suggestion. It's actually a commandment. We're commanded to celebrate the Sabbath. Fourth question, what is the practical application of the Sabbath to my life? Those are the four questions we're going to ask and answer. So if you're in Exodus chapter 20, we're going to read through verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. By the way, we're in the middle of the Ten Commandments. Actually, pretty close to the middle, just the left side of it. This is the fourth commandment. Okay, this is what's going on here. God is giving out the Ten Commandments. Basically, what he is doing is he is telling Israel, these are the things that are going to make you different than everybody else. You're a people set apart to me. And so you need to be set apart. And these are the things that are going to make you different. These are the foundational things about relationship with me that will make you different than everyone else. These are the things that will make you holy. Okay? That's the context. So remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your manservant or your maidservant or your cattle or the sojourner who is within your gates, that just means the traveler who might be with you. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So we've actually just answered our first question. That's basically seven characteristics of a biblical Sabbath day laid out right there. So let's go through them real quick. Number one, remembering. First thing that's important. First, Israel is to remember the day. He's saying, don't forget this day. Don't forget to take this day off, basically. Don't forget this day. Remember this day. Second thing, keep it holy. It means set it aside from all other days as special. Set it aside from all the days as special. And he says, also later on, he says, keep it to the Lord God. So it's not only a special day that is geared towards rest. It is not to be aimless rest. It's to be God-centered rest. It's kept special to the Lord God. Where he says, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord God. So it's set aside, not as aimless rest, but God-centered rest. Third thing, one out of every seven. It doesn't actually tell us at this point which day we have to celebrate it on. But he says, there are 7 days. I'm giving you a 7-day chunk. One of those days, you got to take off. One of those days, you have to Sabbath, I should say. One of those days, you have to Sabbath. So that principle, work 6, rest 1. Okay, the fourth thing, no cheating. Got any cheaters in the audience? No cheating, right? That's basically summing it up, right? What did he say here? He said, 6 days you shall labor. I'm reading the first one. Back on no cheating. He says, you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your manservant, if you have a servant, or your maidservant. Not even your cattle can work on this day, right? This is kind of hard. Let's be honest. But Laura and I have talked about this. Oldest son, Ethan, 16 years old. Very useful, right? Let's be honest. Very useful. Now I can say, hey, go mow the lawn for me. He's like, all right. He's helpful. He's like, all right, cool. I'm like, great, lawn's mowed. It's like lawn's mowed, right? It's amazing. So then something heavy moved, right? Son, pick that up. Put it down over there. I'm like, okay, pick it up, put it over there. Yeah, I just wanted to see you do it, you know? So, right? But he's like, no cheating though, right? We don't get to cheat. He's like, you don't still get to accomplish all these things, by putting your cattle to work, or by your servant, or not even the person who's traveling and sitting with you and having a meal. They don't work for you on this day. You don't work on this day. You cease. No cheating. The fifth thing, he gives us the first why we do it. Because God's rest from creation. That's what it's based on. That's what it's founded on. We do it because God did it. God Sabbathed. He took a Sabbath. Now, it wasn't because he needed to rest. We'll get into that more later. Okay, but that's a question that comes up a lot. We'll talk about that. Okay, and at the end here, the sixth thing and the seventh thing, he blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. He made it holy. He blessed it and made it holy. Sixth and seventh thing. So what does it mean to bless a day? When you think about it. So it's kind of hard to picture that. So think about it like this. What does it mean to bless a man? Think about a man like Abraham, right? God blessed Abraham. He made his name great, but he also poured out all these good things on Abraham to help him accomplish the things that he had called him to. So he blessed Abraham. Think about blessing a land, right? God promised that the promised land, the land of Israel, will be a land of blessing. What does that mean? It means that their children in that land would be prosperous, their grain, their oil, their flocks. God would pour and heap all these good things on the land. So we can take that and we can understand it to mean that when God says, I bless a day, he's saying, I pour good things out on this day. This is where I pour out good things. Laura's doing a Sabbath study right now. And one of the ways they described blessing in that study was that God provides the resources for what he asks you to do. So he blessed that day and he made it holy. He hallowed it. That means he set it apart as special. He set it apart as special. So we've just answered our second question. Is the Sabbath day important to God? Well, there's only one day out of every seven that God has personally blessed and set apart as special. So do you think that's important to him? Let me ask you a question. How many of us in this room, I'm going to ask another stupid question. I know the rest thing was a stupid question. I already knew the answer. Let me ask this one. How many of us want to be blessed by God? Everybody, right? Might take that over a 15-minute nap too, actually, right? Although it does sound good. But how many of us want to be blessed by God? Well, God has told us in this way, I will bless you because I bless this day. Cease, set apart, stop. This day is set apart unto me. It's a special day. There's no other day like this day. How many of us, myself included, historically have never treated the Sabbath like that? And I didn't mean to make you raise your hands, but I raised mine, so I guess it makes it okay, right? Now, here's the best question ever. This is my favorite question. Why? Why does God say, celebrate the Sabbath? Why does he command us to stop and to cease and to celebrate him in the Sabbath? Well, I believe the Bible gives us three specific reasons where he talks about this. The first, and don't feel like you got to turn here, I'm going to give three fairly quickly, okay? So I'm just going to read them to you. Deuteronomy 5:15. Now, in Deuteronomy, what's going on here is Moses, he's saying again the law. He's giving the law to the people of Israel again, and this time he expounds on it some. He explains it and applies it to their lives in different places. He's like, this is God's law, and this is where we're at. So it's they call Deuteronomy kind of means second law. It's not really a second law, though. It's kind of like a second giving of the law. So that's what's going on. But here in Deuteronomy 5:15, it reads this. You shall remember, this is what Moses is saying to the people, that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out thence with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Now he says, therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath. So first he told us, keep it because I did. Now he's telling us, keep it because I saved you. I brought you out of Egypt. You were a slave, and by my mighty arm and my outstretched hand, I gathered you up and I pulled you out. Let's look at exactly what happened there, because this is a really powerful one. Remember what happened. How did God do this? Exodus 14. Don't worry about turning there. I'm going to read it to you. 14:13. This was when this was actually going on, when God actually brought them out. And Moses said to the people, fear not. Okay, the armies of Pharaoh were bearing down on them for the purpose of killing them. They had nowhere to go. There was nowhere to escape. They had no way to defend themselves. They had no weapons. And they were going up against one of the strongest armies in the known world at the time. Okay, that's the backdrop. And Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You have only to be still." God is saying here, celebrate the Sabbath because I am your source of salvation. You need only to be still. I do that. That's me. That's not you. So he says, because of that, celebrate my Sabbath. Second reason, Exodus 31, 12 and 13. "And the Lord said to Moses, say to the people of Israel, you shall keep my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you." Who does the sanctifying? God does. He says, I do it. Sanctification is a fancy word for saying being made more holy. If you're in Christ, if you trusted Christ for salvation, then Christ is, by the power of the Spirit, is in a process of making you more like Christ, making you more holy. That's sanctification. And God says here, I, the Lord, sanctify you. I set you apart. JT said in the sermon last week, we are not called to make ourselves holy. We are called to live out the holiness that God is working in us. So there's a second reason to celebrate the Sabbath, because the Lord sanctifies us. That he says, these are reasons he gives. Now the final one, in Genesis 2, verse 3. The backdrop of this is creation. God has spent the first 6 days creating everything. He set apart the light from the darkness. He set apart the heavens and the earth and the land and the sea and all the animals of the sea, and then the animals of the land, he's building up to this thing. On the sixth day, he's populates all of the land that he's created. And it says here, on it God rested from all his work after day 1 through 6. He rested from all his work which he had done in creation. That's what it says there. Now, what I said was, on the sixth day, God was building up to something, right? What was the last thing that he created? The pinnacle of his creation. Somebody give it to me. What was it? Us. Beckett had it. It's my boy. Okay? It was us, right? He created all of these things, and then finally he created us, man and woman, and he made us in his image to live connected with him, in him, in relationship with him. We were made as the pinnacle of creation in the image of God. That was the last thing he did before he did what? Sabbathed. Now, don't let this be stopped. No, don't let this be lost on you. God didn't Sabbath because he needed to rest. Making all that stuff was done by speaking. How hard is that to speak? It's one of the easiest things we do, right? We do it. God spoke and he created all of those things. He didn't Sabbath because he needed to rest. What it literally says there is that God Sabbathed from all his work. That's what it says. And again, remember what we said. Sabbath means to cease. It means to stop. So what it means literally is God was working and he stopped working. He stopped. And what did he stop for? After he made man and woman, he stopped. He Sabbathed. And he did it just in time to say to man, whom he had just created, man and woman, to say to me, I've made you. You're the pinnacle of my creation. Now, day 7 arrives. What do? Rest. Come into my rest. Man, Adam and Eve, were made just in time to experience rest in God. Now, did God give them things to do? Yes. He said, exercise dominion. He said, be fruitful and multiply. All of those things were meant to be done under the provision and the authority of God. He did give them those mandates, but first, there was rest. There's a lesson in that, right? Jesus said this The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. God made the Sabbath for us. First, he made it for Adam and Eve. He said, I've created you, the pinnacle of my creation. Yes, you're going to rule this creation. You're going to steward it well. You're going to be fruitful and multiply it. You're going to rule it in my name. But first, here's the lesson. Rest in me. Rest in me, and then go forward and do those things. The Sabbath was made for us. God didn't rest because he needed to. He rested because he stopped working so he could teach us something about himself. But what happened? What happened to us? The fall happened, right? Adam didn't lead. He didn't lead well. He didn't cultivate, and he certainly didn't keep. And Adam and Eve fell into sin. And what were the consequences of that sin? What are the words that are used to describe the consequences of that sin of opposing God's will? Pain and sweat. If you look it up, those are the words that are used. Pain and sweat. So we in Adam, in the first man, followed Satan, and Satan robbed us of that unbroken connection to God that we enjoyed. That blessing from God that we enjoyed, he robbed us of that. And that affected our relationship with God, or every generation that followed. It affected our relationship with God, which affected our work. Our work is corrupted. If you remember, God said, by the sweat of your brow, Adam, now you will accomplish what you would have done with ease because of me. By the sweat of your brow, you'll do this. In pain, you will do this to the wife. In pain, now you will bear children. You'll have great pain and difficulty. It'll be hard work. Does anybody feel that hard work? That burden, that load that we carry all the time? That's sin. JT read in John chapter 15 last week, he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Any man that abides in me will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do what? Somebody tell me. Nothing. Jesus said, you abide in me, you bear much fruit. Apart from me, though, you do nothing. That's kind of harsh, isn't it? I mean, that's like an all-encompassing word. He's saying, apart from me, you do absolutely nothing. Why? Why does he say that? What does he mean, you do nothing? Here's what I think he means. He said, if you back up in John chapter 3, when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, he told Nicodemus, that which is born of the Spirit of God he's talking about, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit in substance, in origination. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's what it is. That's its identity. That's what it's made up of. But he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. The flesh can only bring forth flesh. It cannot bring forth life. It cannot bring forth things eternal. Only the Spirit of God can do that in this world. That's it. Nothing else about this world can bring forth life, anything of eternal value, without the Spirit of God. So here we are, day in and day out, running, 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 working, 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 living in chaos, chaos, chaos. That's us. Is anyone tired? What's the problem with that, with us doing that? Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. What is our work investing in? What's it creating? Apart from Christ and the Spirit of Christ, nothing. Nothing that will last. According to the Bible, our work neither saves, nor sanctifies, nor creates anything of eternal value. For those, we depend on the blessing of God. We depend on the work of God. God works and creates those things. We don't. So we've answered question number 3. Why does God command us to celebrate the Sabbath? Because our work apart from Christ neither saves, nor sanctifies, nor creates. For those, we depend on the work of God. That's why he commands us to stop. So let's get practical about that. What is the practical application of the Sabbath to my life? Our last question. Let me answer a question with a question. We talk about practical application of the Sabbath. Let me ask you this. It's Sunday today. If I don't do any work, career or home, nothing. Like if I don't go to work and make money, or if I just stay home and I kick my feet up and I do nothing because it's Sabbath day and I'm not supposed to work, have I biblically celebrated the Sabbath because I refuse to work? There's a group of people that approach it that way. Jesus argued with them often. They were Orthodox, what today we would call Orthodox Jewish people. They take that work thing very seriously. You know, Jewish customs about the Sabbath involve things like you can't turn your oven off or on the Sabbath day. That's work. You can't flip a light switch on the Sabbath day. You can only ride so far in a car on the Sabbath, because if you ride any further, it's work. You can't work. That's the point. The point is the work. You can't work. You know, they actually have a rule about if they get something caught, like a piece of food caught in their beard, if it happens more than once, there's only two or three times, I think, that they can actually take something out of their beard. And if they go past that number, they got to leave it. Can you imagine talking to that guy? Right? But they can't go too far. They can't do it too many times, or it's work. And by golly, we can't work. That's the point of this whole thing. We don't work. Right? My sarcasm kind of gives us the answer. Have we biblically celebrated the Sabbath? No. Remember, JT last week said, we don't need to try harder. We need to go deeper. We need to go deeper than that. So, this one's a little trickier. Question number two. If you spend time with your family, if you read your Bible, if you pray, is that a successful Sabbath? What do you think? We're getting better, aren't we? We're getting better. Those are good things. Nothing wrong with that. Good things, right? But we need to go deeper than that. We need to go deeper than that. What's left? What's left whenever we say doing good things is not going deep enough? God actually taught me this through experience. As I pursued Him in the Sabbath, as I set apart that time, and I did read my Bible, I did good things, I did read my Bible, I did pray, I confessed and repented and received His forgiveness, I pursued Him in the Word, I spent time in prayer. But you know what He taught me? In this moment, this specific moment, I realized as I was in prayer and talking to God that I experienced God in a new way. And what He did was this. I experienced a confidence and an assurance that I didn't have before that moment in prayer, where the Spirit of God came over me. And what I realized was happening was all of these things, my mind was going, like we do, right? My mind was just going like this, pew, 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 right? And all of a sudden, things kind of got clear. I experienced clarity and assurance and confidence. And I realized that was coming from God. And what He said to me was, find your rest. Find your rest in Me. I got this. That's where we need to go. God commands us to Sabbath because we can't do these things without Him. We don't save, God saves. We don't make holy, not us or others, God does. We don't bring spiritual power or spiritual breakthroughs or spiritual life, He does. The Sabbath is our reminder to find our rest in Him. It's the foundation for that rest, and it's a truth. It's truth. That's objectively true. We need to remember it. That's what we need to do. We need to remember that we need to find our rest in God. So let me ask you a question. Can we just stop? Can we just stop? Cease? And find our rest in God? Can we rest in His comfort and in His provision and in His truth for us? That's what He wants. That's how deep He wants it to go. in our relationship with Him. We've been talking a lot about joy here lately, about how holiness is freedom, and that we go forth in the joy of the Lord. We serve Christ out of joy, out of thankfulness, gratefulness. We can't work at joy, though. We can't work at that either. How many of you guys have heard us talking about that from the front here? And then you go home and you pray and you're like, joy, joy, got joy. All right, I'm going to pray about joy. Let me think about joy. Not necessarily bad, okay? But like, we're trying so hard. We're working at it, right? Like, Laura could walk by me and I would be praying and she'd be like, what are you doing? I'm like, finding my joy. Right? I'm like, I'm going to get this. Right? That's the wrong approach, right? Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, he said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. Anybody here feel weary and heavy laden? Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. I will give you rest. You know what that rest produces in us? Thankfulness, gratefulness. I experienced that day whenever God said to me, I got this, son. Find your rest in me. You know what I was? And what immediately followed that? I didn't try at all. What immediately followed that? Man, I was so thankful. Because all that stuff weighs me down all the time. And to hear God say, I got this. I got this. Just trust me. Rest in me. I was thankful. Didn't have to try. I was grateful. It was the natural byproduct. Thankfulness, gratefulness. And you know what follows thankfulness and gratefulness and that relief of that heavy burden and being weary laden? Joy. Joy does. It naturally follows it. So thankfulness and gratefulness are the foundation of joy. And I believe rest is the foundation of thankfulness and gratefulness. Rest in the Lord. So we've answered question number 4. What is the practical application of the Sabbath to my life? Here it is. Refusing to trust in my work. Choosing to rest in His work. And going forth in the power of joy that rest provides. Let me read in closing here. Isaiah 58:13-14. This is one other area that God talks about the Sabbath in the Old Testament. Speaking through Isaiah to the people. He's calling out to them. He's saying, if you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord. And this is how he closes it. And I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. Only someone who's not weighed down can ride on the heights of the earth. Only by finding your rest in Christ are you light enough to walk the clouds. I am convinced now more than ever that Sabbath, ceasing, stopping, being still, is crucial to going forth in the power and presence of Jesus Christ. So what do we have to do? We have to cease. We have to stop. We have to be still. We have to set apart that day as a special and holy day to find our rest in the Lord. And then carry that day throughout the rest of the week and enjoy the blessing that comes with it. Pray with me. Lord, we are so grateful to you that we get to come before you to learn more about you, more about following you, more about loving you, more about how to go deeper with you in relationship. And I pray that if anyone is here today and they have not experienced your rest, if they're carrying a heavy burden, if they are weary, and overburdened by it. No matter what it is, if it's their health, if it's the workload that they've got on them, if it's their finances, if it's their relationships, spouses, children, brothers, sisters, friends, if it's hurts, the ways that they have been taken advantage of in the past, if they've been hurt, they can take all of that and they can put it on you because you take our burdens. You give us rest. We can only find our way back to that place that was lost long ago through Jesus Christ. Today is the day of salvation. If you feel or hear the Spirit of God calling you, have the courage to step forward. I'll be in the back. My wife will be in the back. Other people will be back there. We'll be happy to talk with you and pray with you about it. Today is the day of salvation. Do not put it off. And to the Christian that is in this room, God has saved you, but he is still sanctifying you. He is still setting you apart. He is still making you more and more holy. And we still struggle in the flesh, but we have the power to overcome because of Jesus Christ. Rest in the power of Jesus Christ to overcome. Go deeper in relationship with the Lord. Functionally, each and every day, find your rest in him. Seek him and you will find him. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you so much that you love us enough to say, I got this. I got this. May we rest in that truth. We pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.